So if we go to lesson 3, I believe we're on page 10 of lesson 3. So we'll finish up on that and then start on lesson 4. Hopefully get finished. We'll see how far we get. But just to review from last week, this lesson, we talked about the purpose of Revelation. We talked about it's a unique book. It talks about what we call it's apocalyptic literature, which in Greek, what does apocalypse mean?
Revealing,
right. And what is being revealed specifically in Revelation?
Salvation
in Christ. It's the revealing of Christ, you know. And so, actually, I forgot to tell you last week, that's why I chose this bulletin cover from one of the studies, because here's all the names of Jesus that are found throughout Revelation with all the verses to kind of remind us this is a book about Jesus, just like the Bible is a book about Jesus, but specifically Revelation, that's how it starts out, remember, the revelation of Jesus Christ. So that's what we're talking about here. And we said there's multiple themes here, that God is in control, he has a plan, he wants people to be prepared for the opposition and persecution that will come, and he's telling us Satan has ultimately been defeated, and that as Christians, we are assured of the final victory. So even though they were going through this persecution, this was to remind them of all of these things, that God is in control, and that that there is the ultimate victory that is coming. All right, so number 4, I think is where we left off, and I think we kind of answered that last time too. Would it be accurate to say that the original audience of the book, really a circular letter, the churches of Asia Minor in the first century understood Revelation much better than most people today?
Yeah.
We said the answer to that is yes, right. And we saw some of that with the symbolism in the video we watched last week, that there are things that we may not understand, but they were definitely more recognizable to them. They understood this is what this means and what this relates to. So we have almost 2,000 years, you know, where there's different things going on, so we might not quite see the link as quickly as they would. All right. Reverend Klaus there, he explains the Revelation is written in a code. Now, what does he mean by this? What is a code, first of all? What did he say a code was? It's a language or symbols that is understood by one group, but not others. Right, so you kind of have to be on the inside and understand. He said it's basically kind of an insiders versus outsiders. And even in certain fields, I think we use this example where you have kind of a language that you speak about, like what you do, and people in your same field understand that. But then people outside of it might have no clue what you're talking about, right? You know, there's a certain kind of an insider's language that is spoken. So much of Revelation is in that way, that the Christians would understand what they're saying, but the Romans would not necessarily, the pagans would not get it quite as quickly. Now, why? Why would Revelation be written in that way? Why would it need to be in a code?
Persecution,
right. And I think he talked about if it was just written directly about how bad the Romans were and they were these evil people, that would probably make things worse, wouldn't it? Plus, what would the Romans do if they got a hold of this letter? They'd destroy it. And like I think he said, it's not like there were Xerox machines everywhere. So, you know, there weren't all... Well, there was originally one copy, right? And then even as copies are made, I mean, it wouldn't be that... You know, it's like even in like the World War II era, they had these book burnings, right? And in Luther's time, they had book burnings. Well, that's not that effective today. Why? Everything's on the internet. You could burn every copy of a book, but it's probably online. But back then, I mean, written documents were very rare. So if this was understood as subversive, then it would be seized and it would be destroyed by the Romans. So there was a very good reason for it being written in code, to where it sounded kind of wild and confusing to everyone else, but not to the Christians. They didn't want it to fall into the wrong hands and because of the way it would be or be destroyed. All right, do we see in the Bible other examples of code language? Is this completely unique? He said, well, Revelation is unique in a lot of ways, but the idea of speaking in code, is that unique? Where some people won't understand and other people will.
Jesus talked about that, right? That he
yes.
tells parables.
Exactly. That's the example he used. Parables are a great example of that. And I think we've used this before. A great way to describe parables is in two words, conceal and reveal. Because to certain people, the meaning of the parable was concealed. Jesus was speaking in a way only the insiders would get it. And the outsiders were like, well, this is kind of an interesting story, or it's a weird story. But it would also reveal to the knowing, they would understand. And I love those parables in the Bible where Jesus explains them. You know, there's some where he tells a parable, and then it says, and then he tells his disciples, oh, this is what this means. And sometimes he does that, sometimes he doesn't. But a parable is kind of a code language, okay? And the things represent things. So Revelation, of course, is different. It's not exactly the same as parables, but it's the same principle. He's saying we do see this in the Scripture, that there are things that are spoken of where only the insiders will get it and the outsiders will not. Okay? Number 7, discuss some examples of symbols from the video and how they could be understood differently at different times or in different cultures. Can you think of any more examples? Does anybody remember a symbol from last week in the video that's different in different cultures? He gave one about weddings. Maybe you remember that one.
Oh, the gown. The red gown.
Yes, okay. In Western culture, brides almost always wear white. Why?
Purity.
Symbolizes purity. Okay? But in Eastern culture, like in China and that region, brides don't wear white, they wear
red.
Why do they wear red? Because in their culture, it means
good luck,
fortune, right? See, where it would mean something different in our culture, okay? So that's the point he's trying to make there. We have to be careful interpreting all the symbolism in Revelation as a 2019 American. We need to be able to understand what it meant to the people it was directly revealed to, okay? Because across cultural things, symbols mean different things. Sometimes you read some of these things that are kind of funny, you know, like things that are innocuous to us are very offensive in other countries, you know, or vice versa. So you have to, I remember when we were in Morocco, one of the things was if you were sitting down, you didn't want to put your foot up like this on your leg, because to point the bottom of your foot at someone was extremely insulting. And it's just like a natural thing, you know. Especially guys, we're always fidgeting and, you know, moving our feet around. Shoshana's like, Shosh, taking the table. And I'm like, what? You know, I don't even know. I'm just like bouncing my leg, you know. And but it's very offensive. I guess the equivalent would be like if you gave someone the middle finger here. You know, that's kind of like showing the bottom of your foot. Because feet are the dirtiest thing in your, even in the Bible, right? We read about that. The feet are, that's the dirtiest part of the body. Okay, Kent wanted to say something.
No, I was just thinking about the, I'm glad David brought that up, that example, the white and the red.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Eastern, it's good luck.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know the story behind Tiger Woods, but he always wears red shirt.
Okay.
Sunday. I wonder if that's his...
Probably. Because isn't he Buddhist?
Yes.
Because his mother is from one of the Asian countries. I'm not...
Thailand.
Okay. Yeah. Which is... like the most Buddhist country in the world, or one of them. It's like 90-something%. So I would not be shocked.
Yeah.
I would not be shocked. That'd be something maybe to research, but definitely, because red is good luck. So we have all these different things. So again, when we look at the symbols of Revelation, we have to understand in the context of what did these things mean to them, you know, because it was written to these original churches here. So these things were recognizable. And symbols can change over time. I think I might have talked about this for speaking of Buddhism. Do you know what one of the symbols in Buddhism is? It's a swastika. Okay? But somebody else kind of took that and turned it into something else. So if someone sees a swastika today, they're probably thinking Nazi, right? But traditionally, it's a Buddhist symbol. It means something completely different. Okay, same symbol, different meaning. So this can happen. The meaning of words changes, right? When we say something, you know, if we say gay today, it means something else than it did when the Flintstones had it in their theme song, right? Okay, so the meaning of words and symbols, that can be the same symbol or word, but it means different things. So we have to recognize that when we're looking at Revelation. And he kind of introduced us to some of these things, and we're going to get into it a little bit more in next week's lesson too, okay? Signs, that was another thing, like the signs obviously would might mean something to us and not to them, and even in different countries mean different things. So All right, let's look real quickly at pages 12 and 13 of the lesson. There's a little bit more on symbols in there that you may want to take note of before we go to the actual lesson for today. Is that the use of symbols was widespread in the Old Testament as well. You see a lot of symbolism there, as well as in the Greek. That's the Hellenistic. That's just the technical name for the Greek world, the Greek culture. And so, again, as he says there, they were more readily known to their original hearers. Another thing that you see under the quote there from Revelation, in the ancient world, grotesque symbols always symbolized something what? Supernatural. So again, and even outside of the Bible, other literature from this part of the world at this time in history, if you see some kind of grotesque creature, it's symbolizing something spiritual. Okay, something spiritual is going on. We're going to see this all through Revelation. There's all these animals, many of them with what, Kent? Horns, right? You said, yeah, a lot of horns, animals, and winged animals, and things like that. And then going down a little further, for example, the Jews of the first century still regarded the Babylonian captivity with horror. And we see it talks about Babylon in Revelation, we'll see. A horror akin to what the Holocaust holds for present-day Jews. So John used Babylon to represent the satanic power and evil of Rome, and also for all future satanic powers that would persecute the people of God. So Babylon isn't necessarily talking about the literal Babylonian Empire from the Old Testament, no. Is it even necessarily talking about a literal empire that will arise in what would be today Iraq, actually, is where Babylon is? No. It doesn't necessarily mean it's going to come. Babylon represents basically the enemies of God's people. Okay? One more thing they have here that they had, it's not here, but it was in the teacher notes. I thought it's a good way to look at this. If we talk about a sports team, they have mascots, right? So if I said the Braves are playing against the Pirates, and the Braves defeated the Pirates. Now, is this actual American Indians and Pirates having a battle? No. Okay, those are their mascots. So we say that guy's a Brave or that guy's a Pirate, but they're not really Pirates. That's just their team, okay? So we see all these animals and stuff in here. It's kind of the same way. Let's say in 1,000 years, let's say Major League Baseball doesn't exist in this culture and they unearth some kind of tape and it says, the Braves are really giving it to the Pirates. Well, you could look at it and say, well, these were two groups of people fighting each other. No, these represented something. So when we see the animals in Revelation, it's the same way. It doesn't mean that the devil literally has to look like a dragon with all these horns. He's representing evil, what the devil would do. The devil's really evil now, but he's but that the dragon is representing that, okay? So the same way that teams have mascots and we say, oh, there's the, or we use the Bears Sunday. So the Bears and the Vikings are playing. Does that mean there's guys with horns and swords fighting against wild bears? No. Okay, they represent something, okay? All right. Any other questions on this? And we'll go to the next part of the lesson.